Life family. Hey, Daddy is good. And the energy's better at this one than it was the last one. Amen. Oh, we had good church last one. Hey, people got filled with the Spirit. Hey, we had good church. But the dynamic's a little bit different. Amen. Like it. Amen. Got an announcement to make. If you hadn't already been contacted for Life Changers and people that have partnered with New Life Fellowship, we're dividing our community up into zones. So you'll be getting contacted by zone pastors that will be there to serve even more, amen, your needs from a pastoral lens, and also to help equip you into who you really are as a minister. You're powerful. And right now, people stepping into their true identity is of utmost importance. And I have come to realize, long before now, but I have to keep rehearsing it, I'm not the Messiah. I can't be everywhere at the same time. And so with that being said, the Lord said his body can. And so since you're powerful, since you're anointed, and since you've been chosen by heaven, our community needs you to stand up and be who God says you are. And so get ready. We're going to invest in you having fun for the rest of your life being who God says you are. Amen? And so zone pastors will be getting a hold of you and making sure you're fully connected and that, you know, you may fuss about it and buck and snort, but we're going to knock on your door because you said you are a life changer, you are a partner at this house, and the daddy's going to know we're giving it our best. Is that okay? That's okay, because he said it's okay. Amen. Also, next weekend, Lord willing, and I feel good about it, we'll start our translation, our Spanish translation during the service, the second service. Amen. And so go ahead and invite all the wonderful brothers and sisters that can only speak Spanish, and pray for the translator, because Country Boy is really a challenge to translate into Spanish, and your prayers are going to be greatly appreciated. Amen. You ready for today? I am. I'm ready. We're in chapter 9 of a book that we're writing here from our creative team on the promise, and I'm giving it to the church family first, and we'll be putting it into a workbook form for equip classes. And so any one of you can take this workbook and actually offer a small group in your home and equip people. Be a part of the Great Commission. It's being put together to make it much easier for you to step into your identity and be effective. People should be being filled with the Spirit in homes in the community. They should be being baptized in swimming pools in the community. Amen? And you should be doing the baptizing and making the disciples. Why is that? Because Jesus said you should be. Amen. The Great Commission remains the Great Commission, and it's not the great suggestion. It's a commandment that we all join with him if we're followers of Christ. Guess where he leads us as followers? Into the Great Commission. And he puts people in front of us, and he wants us to take care of them, which is why we're talking about the topic of the promise, and we're on a point that's very valid today, and it's called the fruit of the Spirit. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Anybody have issues in your life? I got issues. And you would wish, you really like, man, if I could get this issue, man, it keeps bugging me. And Paul made reference to his flesh problem and how that the enemy kept pushing that button. And that spirit kept buffeting him because of his issue. And potentially, you know, a lot of theologians debate over what that issue, what that thorn in the flesh was, but we know that it was a messenger from hell coming to buffet Paul. But it may have been because Paul is wrestling with his past. Just saying, because after 40 years of ministry, I've come to realize that most people won't move forward because they haven't close the door on their past. And the Lord's already taken care of yesterday. I mean, his blood covers everything if we'll receive him. And if you're breathing today, I want to encourage you, whatever it is that you did that you're still being bugged by the enemy over, pay attention. From New Life Fellowship, we encourage you to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. He ain't beating nobody up. Demonic spirits beat everybody up. But God don't beat no one up. He's a good. He can't do nothing but good. He's never been bad. And some of you need to really get that revelation that he's always good. He's never bad. And he proved his goodness and his mercy and his love for us by dying our death for us. Amen? And so when God is involved in the equation, he produces good fruit, never bad fruit. But Pastor, I produce some bad fruit. Well, the fruit that's bad don't even belong to you. The only way you can accept it, you have to believe the liar who says it belonged to you. No, that bad fruit belongs to the source from which it came. Just like the good fruit that's going to show up in your life, as God blows your mind on who you are, comes from the one that gives the good fruit. So I encourage you today, the issues that we're challenged with are not there for evil, they're there for good. Amen. And the big point that Paul makes as he's writing the letter is the Lord said to him after he entreated him three times, the Lord said, look, Paul, my grace is sufficient. I love you. Paul concluded that it was in his life to keep him from being conceited, arrogant, full of pride. It created a dynamic about him that caused thousands upon thousands to come to Christ. What was that dynamic? Humility. Paul stayed humble before God because the enemy kept reminding him, without God, I can do nothing. And if we can come to that resolve that every day we get up, I can't move forward and be who God designed me to be without him. But with him, wonderful things are in the making right now. And it starts right there in the house with your wife, your husband, and your children. And it spills out into the street of the community that God has placed you in. And the people he's put in front of you, he's given you all the tools you need, amen, to focus on taking care of them. And the rest of these things that's going on in your little world, he'll take care of that. Because he's given angels charge over you. I know that's become a Christian cliche, but you know that's the truth. So take the cliche out and just go ahead and start agreeing that he's given the angels charge over you. Let them do their job. Let them go to work doing what they do best. Is that okay? Amen. And so Matthew 5:13, Jesus addresses he's addressing humanity. I mean, there's a lot of people there at the Sermon on the Mount, and he's addressing everybody that's there, but that's humanity. He chose humanity to be the apple of his eye. And this is what he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? That's a good question. Because the enemy's convinced you, you ain't got no influence in the kingdom. But the Lord's saying, but what if I can give you some influence today? It's important. Because the enemy will tell you, because you've messed up so much, and you got this issue, you can't do nothing for God. And the only way that we can be not tasty and not have influence is we have to believe a lie, right? We got to agree with our adversary. It is no longer good for anything except to be trodden down or thrown down and trampled underfoot. Then he goes on and says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. And I want to pause for a minute. Catch this. What are they seeing? They're seeing good fruit. They're seeing the fruit of the Spirit at work in you and through you. And glorify your Father in heaven. Because he said, that's my kids right there. That's my boys. That's my girl. That's my bride right there. Producing the right fruit. Amen. So, let me help you. If saltiness has lost its flavor, what's the problem here? If the light is not shining, but it's under a bowl or a bushel, what's the problem here? You see, without the Holy Spirit, you have no saltiness. But with the Holy Spirit, you're salty. Amen? You have influence. Everything you touch is preserved because life is given to it. Jesus chose you and me to be his representatives, to be his, quote, ambassadors. I'm going to read that to you in a moment. He gave us an objective, and that it's from us he's able to spill his glory into all the earth, his goodness. If a light can't be seen, but the light, you know, has potential, but it's hidden under a bowl, what's the problem? Without the Holy Spirit, the lampstand, nobody can see the light. You see, Jesus is into putting his church on display, but he's the one that puts her on display. This is so important for every one of us today. If you're not salty, but you believe in Jesus, you might want to go back and check your covenant out and find out that you're allowing the covenant promise and all the benefits that come with being in covenant with him, liberty to flow. Would that help somebody? If you've noticed that people are not attracted to you and your idea of Jesus, because in our world today, ladies and gentlemen, I said this several times, but it needs to click in us. The world is not attracted to Christianity. The world is attracted to Jesus. Now keep in mind, our identity is Christ according to the Word of God. They should be attracted to Christianity, but Christianity is not producing good fruit across the board. Because after 40 years of ministry, the conversation with hurting couples, hurting families, people in the world that I go to reach out after and touch, I'm hearing it over and over again. They're not attracted to the church in our world like they should be. But they are interested. If we can show them Jesus, they will listen. If you can show me, just don't tell me, show me. Give me some evidence of good fruit. Give me some evidence that God is working in your life. And when you can give them evidence that God is at work in your life today, everybody likes that taste. They like the illumination that comes from evidence that God is not only with you, but God is in you. And so we're not, you know, everybody say, thank you, Lord, we can feel you. We feel God. Everybody can feel God in this room right now. But the question is everybody filled with God in this room right now? Because when you get filled with God, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The evidence, not dead waters, but living water. And everybody's attracted to living water, not dead waters. If the water that's coming out of you stagnant, they don't want it. They want to know this coming out of a well that's alive. This well is like water, Rocky Mountain water coming down. I want to stick my glass up in that. Let me have some of that. Real water. They don't want dead water. They want life. Amen? And so Paul is challenging us. Notice here in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ God was in Christ. This is so important for us to move forward. That's how saltiness and light happens. Reconciling the world to himself. No longer counting people's sins against them. This is good for us. He ain't counting any of your past against you. Right now, he's not counting it against you. You may have messed up really bad last night. And you're feeling real bad because you dropped the ball big time. It not only went out of bounds, the ball busted. We ain't got no ball right now. And that's how you see your life. The Lord said, I'm not counting that against you. Get up. I like the way the prophet Nathan came to David and said, hey, David, yep, called the truth out on you. You fell on your face because you was willing to repent. Now let's get up. It's time for you to be the king. It's time for you to keep moving on. Put it behind you. This is a new day. The mercies of God are new and fresh. He said he no longer counts people's sins against them, and he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. Why is it that I can carry this message so profoundly? Why is it that you can carry this message so profoundly like no other being in all the universe? Because you messed up before. You've been guilty. You've been beat up. You've been body slammed. And because you've been through it, and it ain't nothing fair about it, and you found out that God loves you anyway and that he don't count any of that against you, all of a sudden you've got this, whoo, man, I got to go tell somebody. Amen. I, matter of fact, because I need to go tell somebody, the love of God is now erupting out from my innermost parts, and I'm just in love with people right now. Now, let me challenge you, because God's been talking to this house about, amen, we can love God only as much as the person we love the least. So seek out the person you love the least, because the measurement of your love for God equals that. Is anybody tracking? If you're having a problem loving on the person you love the least, you need to take a check on your covenant with God. And even though you feel God, which is cool, isn't it? That's kind of letting you know that he's with you, but he wants to be in you. Pray for the translator. He's got to interpret all this stuff. He wants to be inside of you. And he's been with you every time you dropped the ball and you were embarrassed and you were ashamed and you felt guilty and all the other things that came and warred against you and kind of made you just want to hide. He was right there in your little cave. He was under that bowl with you saying, hey, come on, let's come out of here. I'm not holding that against you. Now let's take it and make a stepping stone out of it. I want to put you on display. Now, since you understand what it feels like to be on the bottom, you can go pull all those people on the bottom up. And I'm going to give you something to do it with. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and my spirit is going to produce some fruit. Let me help you here. God's helping me, so I get to help you. A religious man by the name of Nicodemus goes to Jesus by night, John chapter 3. And he's going by night because he don't want his other sorority group to know where he's going. He don't want his cohorts to know, hey, what you doing going to see Jesus? But he can't help it. He don't want to cause no trouble with his boys, but he wants to hang out with Jesus. You ever been in that dilemma? Like, I don't want to offend nobody, but you know what? I'm really attracted to this guy, Jesus. And so he goes, and he tells Jesus, this is what Nicodemus says, no man can do what you do except God be with him. And so he's focused on the evidence of God at work. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, look, you're missing the point. I'm gonna help you here, Nicodemus. He said, don't marvel now. Don't get so excited you miss the point. But unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom. It's not about the supernatural that's happening. That's not what this thing's about. It's about something else. You must be born again. How can these things be? That which is flesh is flesh. It's born to flesh. And that which is spirit is born to spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born of water and of spirit. The wind blows how it wills to blow. So is everyone. You can hear the sound of it. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. And when you do your homework and you check out people that were born of the Spirit when Jesus left, the same event that happened in their life happened in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts, still happening today. And it's not that you feel God, it's that you're now filled with God. Because a lot of people feel God, and there's no evidence that God's at work in their life. But if you're filled with God, rivers are flowing out of you, and the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting. Jesus lets Nicodemus know, that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is his covenant with his bride. The kingdom is his covenant with his children. This is so important for you to catch. It's out of God's love that the blind eyes are open. It's out of God's love that the lame walk. Oh. Has anybody ever put a mask on before? Yeah. Some of them going to go to Halloween and put a mask on. Halloween happens all year long, though. That needs to track for a moment. You got to catch it. And every one of us, because flesh is involved, we're all experts on how to wear a mask. The creative team was having fun with me Friday. And the point was brought up, said, you ever been with your spouse and you're fussing and the phone rings? And you pick the phone up and all of a sudden ain't nothing wrong. Everything's rosy and we're having a wonderful day. How's your day going? Did you know you can only put on the mask of kindness for so long? And there's a line that once you cross it, you can't be kind now. You can't be gentle. You can only be gentle so long. And so we can mimic. That's the best word I can use. We can mimic the fruit of the Spirit only for so long. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit is right because we'll work hard to try to live up to them. And that's not the will of God, that anybody work hard to depict that they are his kids and they're his bride. That's never been his will. His will is that we enter into our rest. And that out of rest, we let him come to his temple and be king of his kingdom within us so that from us, he can pour his glory out into the earth. And the way you do that, ladies and gentlemen, is you take care of what's in front of you. Now, one of the ways you know you're following Christ is that you're taking care of the people he puts in front of you every day. And some of them, you want to knock them out. And so instead of dealing with the people in front of you, it's easy to get this excuse. Well, I'm going to offend them if I take care of them so I can get busy. Anybody got busy yet? And we'll get busy taking care of things around us that is angels' work. Eventually, this is going to catch on at New Life Fellowship that the angels have been given, God has given the angels charge over us. And most of our families here and most of our relationships are full of things going on in our lives. And we're spread out like butter. And the Great Commission, whether we know it or not, we've put it on hold. And we've excused the Great Commission because we're busy. And I've heard precious people say more. This statement has been made multiple times. Pastor, as soon as I get all this stuff that I'm doing right now, taking care of, man, you can count me in. I'm going to be up for Jesus. I'm going to go baptize and make disciples. I've heard that a bunch. But isn't it interesting you never get caught up with all this stuff you're doing? It's interesting, isn't it? And the only reason we don't get caught up with it, if we feel God when we get up. We'll say our little prayer, and we can feel God, but we're not filled with God. When you get filled with God, passion flows out of you. And all of a sudden, what you thought was important and need to be taken care of, don't need to be taken care of like I thought it needed to. I don't know. I'm eat up with a zeal right now to take care of what's in front of me. And if they slap you, you can turn the other cheek. Well, not a problem, because you're filled with God. Your light is on a lampstand. Your salt has not lost its flavor. It's been flavored by the presence of God. And the people are wild because you're depicting the fruit of the Spirit. And I promise you, when you get full of God and the fruit of the Spirit is in your life, people that experience God from you are going to walk away with their eyes open. Those that hadn't walked, they're going to get up, and the lame's going to walk again. People are going to get healed left and right. When we start allowing the true DNA of God's kingdom, the true DNA of our Father, liberty, to flow from us to those we've been given to tend to in our lives. Nicodemus, you're asking the wrong question. It's not about what I'm doing that validates that God's with me, but it's about who I am. And you must be born again. You want to have this thing working in your life? Then the new birth process is imperative. Amen? And so I've come to realize that, like last week, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, the immature people can use them. Babies can operate in the gifts. But you know that those that are believers, that are bearing the fruit, they're mature in God, that they are aware of the world around them, and they don't offend anybody around them because they're mature. But as a baby, you can take what God gives you as a gift and offend people around you. And right now, the church world has very little movement towards the gift of the Spirit, because immature Christians have offended it so often. So what do we do about that? What do we do about immature Christians? What do we do about the fact that it's been handled wrong? Simple. We get filled with Spirit. We take care of what's in front of us. We make sure we have small groups in our home so that we're baptized and discipling. We're having equip classes. We're helping them grow up. We're giving them the sincere milk of the Word of God. We're doing our part because we're tending to God's business. And all this other stuff we've been doing, God will take care of it. But the only way I can take care of God's business is the love of God is the platform by which God changes this world. I cannot be a Christian without the love of God ebbing and flowing from me. I can wear a mask and I can tell everybody I believe in Jesus and I can tell everybody I follow him. But sooner or later, there's got to be some evidence that I'm following him. And he tells us distinctively what that evidence is. And when you and I have been given to being filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will begin to ebb and flow from us. People are going to eat from that tree that is producing that kind of fruit. Three things you need to be aware of. Amen. Next few moments, want you to be aware of it, that are important when the gifts of the Spirit are at work in your life. And the first one is that covenant promise is in your life. Covenant promise is there. If the fruit is there, the evidence of the covenant is there at work in one's life. And this is so important, amen, for us to catch that. The second thing that is important about the fruit of the Spirit and is evidence that the fruit of the Spirit is one's life is that you walk in freedom. You see, free people don't fall prey to the lie of the enemy that says you got to work hard for righteousness. No, free people, they don't work hard. Free people walk by faith. And in their faith, and to trust God, that faith goes to work through them. And this is good for people today to catch this. Because I've heard theologians say it. I've heard believers say it. Hey, man, faith without works is dead. We got to go to work. Well, go to work then. and tell me how that works out for you. But when you have an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying, faith comes by hearing. When you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, now you got some faith. And when you get real faith, that faith will go to work. And at the end of this thing, every one of us that learned how to listen and hear what the Spirit was saying, we're all going to say together in unison, look what the Lord has done. It was Him that was in me as King of His kingdom. I was filled up with Him. You were filled up with Him to the point that He was able to work through you His goodness into the earth. And faith was at work. You can work and not have an ounce of faith. And that's nothing more than a mask that you're putting on. And you can only work so long before you burn out. But when you get full of Him and the evidence of love is just erupting out of your spirit and you're passionate about the kingdom of God and you're a carrier of this message that invites people to be citizenship of His kingdom, you're an ambassador. You're just oozing with the presence of God because you're hosting Him and He's just spilling out of you. You don't ever get burned out. And as you take care of God's business, what He's put in front of you, the people He's put in front of you, everything else that needs to be tended to is taken care of. And the reason some of you have a problem believing that is because you need to be filled with God. You feel God right now, but I'm having a problem digesting this, Pastor. And the only reason you're having a problem is you need to be filled with God. Marvel not, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Jesus leaps for joy in John chapter 12, I believe, verse 48. I believe that's the verse. He leaps for joy and he shouts on that great day of the feast. He that believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Spirit, which they should receive, but couldn't because it hadn't yet been given. You get filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit that fills you is going to produce some fruit that's going to blow everybody's mind around you. You get filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit that fills you is going to raise the dead. Come on, because the Spirit's going to produce some fruit. And out of love, the blind eyes are going to open. Out of love, disease is going to flee from the body. Out of being full of the Spirit and producing the kind of passion that God has for people, out of your love for people through Him, they're going to see what they've never seen. They're going to be experience what they've never experienced before. They're going to be able to hear the invitation from heaven by their heavenly Father Himself through you. You must be born again. The greatest thing that you and I can do for the kingdom of God is allow the Spirit to get into us in such a way that we let Him become King of His kingdom and produce the kind of fruit that depicts His nature and His character everywhere we go. Can we agree with that today? And so it is. When the fruit of the Spirit is evident, the covenant is evident in one's life. When the fruit of the Spirit's evident, that person's free. When the Spirit of the, or the fruit of the Spirit is evidenced in someone's life, it confirms their identity. It confirms who you really are. It validates that you're truly Christ now. Does anybody want to be Christ today? You know, Israel is a wonderful type and shadow of some of our personal lives. Let me tell you a story as I bring it to a close. When Israel was undercover to God as His bride, because He typed her as His bride in the Old Covenant, right? The old covenant was Israel and God were married. Jeremiah 3 and 8, God says through Isaiah, I'm through. I'm writing her a bill of divorcement. In Jeremiah 3 and 8, God writes a bill of divorcement to Israel. Not because he wanted to, because he didn't want to. She made the decision she didn't need him no more. And she left him. Before she left him, the nations were wowed by her. While she was in covenant with him, the nations respected her and her God. All nations were wowed. But when she said, I don't need him no more, I can do my own thing, and she broke covenant with him, she went out, the nations were disdained her. And they saw her as a harlot. And God, through the nations, allowed the enemy to do what the enemy does when we open up and make the wrong decisions. She come into slavery to the nations. And they did not see her as a wow factor no more. Are y'all tracking? Let me say it this way. Her light was under a bushel now. Her saltiness had lost its flavor. And now the nations trampled on her. Is anybody tracking? Pastor, why you got to get so serious right now? You know why the Lord has challenged me to get serious? Because he loves you. And you're going through stuff you don't have to go through. You're going through challenges right now. You don't have to go through those. Like, you can go through them with a smile on your face. You can go through them with them under your feet. You can go through the fire, and on the other side, you ain't gonna have no smoke on you. Or you can get burned up in the fire. You decide what kind of victory you're gonna walk in. But I'm telling you, the only reason the salt ever loses its flavor is because we don't need Jesus like we think we need him. When you don't understand, Pastor, I need Jesus, but your actions speak louder than our words. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, as long as you're spread out like butter and you're busy doing lots of things, but you're not taking care of what he puts in front of you, you're telling him you don't need him. You broke covenant with him. He came and touched my life, and the deal he made with me was that I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to give my life so that you can live. Can you do this for me? Can you just take care of this one thing? What is that, Lord? Let me put you on display. I want to finish something, but I want the rest of my creation to see me finish it through you. I mean, that's a deal, man. It's like, duh. But, and you can't beat the deal. I should be dead. I should be annihilated. I shouldn't even be breathing right now, but I'm alive because of mercy. But I'm smarter than God. I go to church. I got all this business I'm taking care of, and my actions say I'm smarter than him. Does everybody believe God exists? You believe that he exists? Well, then he must be smarter than us. And if he's smarter than us, then the assignment he gives us must be the right assignment. But you don't understand, Pastor, hold it just a minute. There's somebody that I love the least in that assignment. There's somebody's involved in this. There ain't very many of them, but they're there, and I want to knock them out. And why would God put me in that position to have to take care of somebody that bothers me? Are y'all tracking? Because he looked past your hard-headedness and loved you when you were unlovable. And he just wants to know, will you return the love that he gave for you when you didn't deserve it and show him that you love him by loving the one you love the least? I don't know about y'all, but that puts me in a posture that, help, Daddy. Help me. I can't do this. That's right, son. You can't do it. But with me, I'm going to blow your mind. If you'll trust me, I'm going to blow your mind. And if you'll love on them the way I loved on you, you're going to find out that's the best place you can be with me. Is right in front of what you don't want to be in front of and loving it. But if you can't, it would be advisable today for you to recheck your covenant with him. Somewhere the enemy convinced you, and he's done me. He's played me a few times, over 57 times around the sun. He's played me. And there was times I wouldn't tell you I was smarter than God, but my actions were saying I was smarter than God. And I had justified the fact that I knew how to wear a mask of Christianity, that I was okay. But if you put me in a situation where there were certain people there, my covenant wasn't where it was supposed to be. And he wasn't Lord and King of his kingdom within like he was supposed to be. And it was those times when I had to face my biggest challenge because of the pain in my life. And it always, the enemy's going to make it associated with someone else. And when I learned how to deal with it, with him being the source, I was like a butterfly out of a cocoon. Now you're not going to embrace the one you love the least without God and win. You'll fail the test because without him, you have no flavor. Without him, you're not on the stand. And the Lord is challenging New Life Fellowship, our responsibility to our community is to make sure our covenant is intact. Our responsibility to the people of this community, it's not about us ever again. He made it about you on a cross 2,000 years ago. Life ain't about you now. It's about him and others. And that hadn't translated to most people. It ain't about you no more. He made it about you when he filled you up with his spirit. It's not about you no more. If you take anything personal, you broke covenant. To take anything personal in this life, you have to break covenant with him. Is that tracking? So if I can't face my biggest challenge, and it's always people, I need to get God back where he belongs. Fill me up, Lord. Set me free. We need to do a covenant check, don't we? I know everybody in this room feels God right now. This is the Lord. That's the truth. And that certainly ain't that God saying it, because he ain't that smart to say that. That's coming from heaven. Well, what you going to do about it? That's right. We're going to feel after him now because we can feel him. But he's the only one that can feel us. We feel him, he feels us. The moment you feel after him, he suddenly comes to his temple. Anybody ready for the Lord to love? Quit letting the enemy convince you. Oh yeah, when God gets where he belongs in your life, you got to go deal with that devil. They ain't going to be the devil when you let the Lord touch you. All of a sudden, they're going to be God's treasure. And you're going to turn the other cheek as many times as you need to, because he did it for you when you didn't deserve it and I didn't deserve it. Is that helping somebody? Can we do it for him? Can we stand?